Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Another really just nice spring-like day. Warmed up a good bit today. Just a beautiful day. Hope everybody doing well. It's Bill and Dan. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio for hour number one. Drew once again at the control. So hope everybody doing well on another busy, busy day. I mean, Jason, we were over at a couple of media opportunities today. Let's face it, about half the media that usually covers Auburn is already out of town, headed to Spokane or there in Spokane.
Yeah, I talked to Nathan. He called me, and they were already on the ground. Their flight was at 6 o'clock this morning, and so it was about 5 hours. So they got there a little bit before lunch our time.
It's just mid-morning there. So.
Yes. So they and I said it's actually going to work out perfect. So you can basically just stay awake and acclimate. Day one, go right to bed tonight, you'll be tired, and so it's going to work out well for them, and see if they can make this a long trip, because much like we heard from Bruce Pearl the other day, Nathan and Justin Ferguson and the guys he went this time basically have already decided, look, if they win, there's no need to fly back to Atlanta and turn around and get on a flight the next day and go back to Boston. I think they're because they would be Thursday when
you just
play.
Go coast to coast.
Just
don't,
leave
don't
on Monday
come
morning
back down to the South
Monday, because you would have practice, interviews, all those things Wednesday in Boston. You might as well fly across the country and have a day to kind of get ready. So we'll see if that's needed.
Hopefully,
for this
it
Auburn
is.
Team. That's right. You never know this time of year. You hope you continue playing well, and as I've said all along, survive your bad game. Because everybody's going to have one. Can you survive yours, and when does it come? That'll be the question.
And San Diego State does seem like a team that, you know, really seems to force a lot
they
of bad
make
games.
You, yeah. They can make you have one of those games.
Yeah,
yes.
They seem like a team that can turn it into a Donnybrook or a scrum. Not that Auburn's unfamiliar with teams that play that style.
No,
too,
Mississippi State does it about as well as anybody.
Yeah, Mississippi State, A&M will do it.
A&M will play that style too. But, I mean, and San Diego State, I think, is a team that they are equipped to try to slow down a faster, more talented team with the way they want to play, you know, their specific style.
I agree. And I'll also get into
not
it
a
more
team you want to see in your bracket, generally speaking.
No, you know, they haven't been as good this year, but they've got one of the best players in the country in their big man. I'm telling, watched them four or five times, and he's 6'9", 245, built like a guy that played in 1987. I mean, he's a physical guy. The matchup with Yale on paper, that's about as fortunate. I mean, there's a lot of other 13-4 matchups where you go, that it doesn't mean anything. You still got to go play. But it feels like that's a really good matchup for Auburn going into Friday for the first rounder.
Yeah, we will see. It's and reminder that tomorrow we're going to be on location at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, as will Jacob and Uncle T-Bone, with their show on the line. So we'll be there from 2 until 6 tomorrow. Love for you to stop by, check out all the basketball that is going on tomorrow while we are out there.
Jason pays attention to different corners of the college basketball universe throughout the season. You know, and so this is one of my favorite days of the year is the Wednesday we get with Jason between the reveal of the bracket and the start of the tournament tomorrow, because you know it's like your ability to sniff out a guy who might have a big year you know, on the depth chart or something, you're usually good for a Cinderella or two. And so
you don't want to count the two games last night. You had a good game. You had an interesting game.
I want to do the Men in Black memory.
Went from a 17-point game to a chance to tie last night in the Wagner Howard game, and then you had as just boring. I could not watch.
Virginia did not. I mean, Virginia did not.
Virginia did not. You're right, Dan. They did not.
It's remarkable to see. I actually was in Dadeville, and went up and spent the night and spent some time with my mom last night. And so we had the game on, and she's like, I can't watch this.
No,
and
she wasn't the only one.
She lives for these live sports moments. That's what she does. She's like, I can't watch this. We went back to the NIT and watched a little bit of that. It was unwatchable, and people knew it. And you know, when you get compared to Iowa football, that's bad.
We could have had St. John's, Indiana State, and they would have scored. They would have had a race to 100.
And just scoring doesn't mean.
No, you're right, but high level basketball.
But not scoring at all is a completely different scenario. And yeah, they went of real time. 52 minutes without a point in a basketball game.
Without a point. Not without a basket.
Some of that was halftime. Without a point. But they went the last 9 minutes of the first half and the first almost 5 minutes of the second half without scoring a point in the game of basketball. It was brutal to watch.
14 at the half, is that right?
Yeah, 14 at the half. And I was like, are they going to get to 40? They got to 42, I think.
Okay, so a couple questions I want to ask you about the bracket. One or two seed that you think is in danger of an early exit, either because of the way they're playing or because they drew the wrong team in the – not necessarily the first round. I know how hard – it's tough to predict a one or two or a three is going to lose in round one. It's happened, but it's very difficult to predict that. But round of 32, like, it's not a given that all the ones and all the twos are going to make the Sweet 16. You could have someone get bounced in the round of 32. Is there a matchup that stands out to you where you're like, ooh, that's a – I know some
– In the first two rounds?
First two rounds for an early seeded team. Is there someone that you think
if FAU can get by Northwestern.
Right.
That's a team that made the Final Four last year. They've got experience. It's not a great matchup with UConn, but I think it's an interesting game. It's the most difficult of all the regions by a mile.
Oh, it's not. Yeah, it's not even close.
And so that's the one I have to look at. The other one I think is Texas A&M and Houston. Just because, I mean, first of all, you're in state. They've heard all about Houston. A&M has things you have to have. They can rebound, and they have elite guard play. Right now, if those guys play the way they played the SEC tournament, that's a team that can beat Houston because they'll get downhill, and that's what you have to do. You can't settle for jump shots against Houston.
An 8 or a 9 usually wouldn't be seeing a team like a team like Houston would be a big step up from most of what they've seen all year. I don't know if that's necessarily true with A&M, a team that beat Kentucky just last week.
Yeah.
In Nashville. Like, I agree.
I think that's a thing that you go, it's not a, you know, and it's a talented team. That was a team that people thought was going to be a top 3 team in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't pan out, but they have the talent to be one of those teams. Those are the dangerous.
There seem like three SEC answers potentially because you have A&M and Houston. I've seen at least one national guy, say that A&M team. If you had to pick an 8 or a 9 to the Sweet 16, it's Texas A&M. They've got the stuff to beat Houston. We were just talking about the way San Diego State can drag you into the mud. Mississippi State would love to do that to UNC if they can get past Michigan State.
I think that's the problem. I think if they were playing someone else in the first round instead of a Michigan State team where Tom Izzo, I mean, they've had some losses in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a team that has played in the Big Ten pretty good, and they're there all the time. If you're playing somebody that wanted to score and – it's a similar matchup. I agree. If they get to
that game's going
to
be so
if they can get to North Carolina, then I think that's a team that can do damage. And the question you have is, can Josh Hubbard be that guy in that moment? Because he wasn't as good in the SEC tournament as he was a lot of times in the regular season. And their bigs are back. They're doing those things.
What about Florida as a potential matchup for? They got to beat the winner of tonight's game. I think it's going to be Boise. It could be Colorado. They got to beat the winner of tonight's game, and then they have most likely Marquette in the round of 32 to get to the Sweet 16. They lost Handlugton in the game against Auburn, but he was
they still got some guys, they still have
some depth in the post, and even and Micah was still, I mean, he was, his minutes had gone down towards the end of the season, and he was playing closer to 10-15 minutes a game, you know, towards the tail end of Florida's year. It's not as though, even though he did get the start against Auburn, it's not as though Florida lost a guy who was leading the team in minutes and points and rebounds. They're still dangerous for a lot of reasons going into this weekend.
You know, Marquette's one that I can't get a feel for. They're a really good team. They don't feel dominant to me, but the Big East, when you talk about the four or five teams right there, I mean, that's a pretty daunting task when you go through that league, I think, when you start talking about some of the teams they've had to beat, some of that.
If you told me Florida was the best team on the 7-8-9-10 line, like roster wise, if you thought they were the best group of those teams,
they're up there.
Then I could understand why people would say, well, that's the most dangerous team of that group to get to.
Correct. I mean, from a talent standpoint, yeah,
even without knowing how Marquette's going to fare in a matchup,
really good. Marquette, the one thing they have is Tyler Colek. They have what many people may believe is the best point guard in the country. How do you stack up from a size standpoint when you start talking about, you know, what they bring to the table? They're a guard-heavy team.
Some folks would tell you that the Texas team that Tennessee could play in the round of 32 is among the most talented teams on the 7-8-9-10 line. They've underwhelmed at times
this year. They have, and that's the thing is, like,
A. Smith is dangerous, though. The guard they got from Oral Roberts.
Can fill it up. He is a Josh Hubbard type guy. So that's a guy that can do some of those things to you. Tennessee, I mean, for all the SEC teams, it's going to depend on, do you knock down shots? I think more important for Kentucky and Alabama than it is, you know, everybody else, because they don't play very much defense. They've got to really shoot the ball well.
And Texas would have to get by the team that just beat Virginia last night, Colorado State, who was playing well.
Is a good basketball team.
Yeah, good basketball team playing well down the stretch.
And I think a Mountain West that was – I watched a bunch of them, because you get a bunch of those games at 9:30 on a random Thursday night. So I watched a lot of those teams play. Boise State's a good team. Obviously New Mexico. You know,
I was surprised Colorado got in. Among the teams that I was surprised they decided, you know, they were going to include was Colorado. I would expect Boise State to win tonight, and Boise, Florida – will be a really interesting matchup.
I mean, again, Colorado, I think they're like, hey, we need another Pac-12 team. Let's put them in there. They didn't do anything substantial this year. Boise State with Max Rice, coach's son.
I don't like
can
a team
really
that,
shoot it.
I don't like a team that fell short seemingly every time they had a chance to play their way off the bubble. Right, like that's not
and
we're not
got
saying, we're
rewarded
not,
for it anyway.
Yeah, we're not saying that about State. We're not saying that about A&M.
Well, like that was Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very similar type team. And there's some of those.
And they're not making the argument that more major conference teams need to get in. Like last night was not an argument that the middle and bottom of more power conference teams need to be included in this thing, because it was not. I mean, Virginia did not make the case.
What
Colorado does tonight.
I agree. What this does to me, that people are like, oh, it hurts the argument. No, I think it helps the argument to expand, because those teams are going to continue to get in. But if you allow the Indiana States of the
because
world,
of the teams that got left out,
correct.
Not because of what
yeah,
the
not,
teams
correct.
Got
left out. It's because
the way,
of the ones that
yeah,
are out.
The way Sankey's talking, though, the idea that we expand and we turn every 16, 15, and 14
no.
into a play-in
nope.
game
nope.
And you expand that you more guaranteed yeah. spots on the bubble and fewer spots in the field of 64
yeah.
for See, smaller yeah. conference one bid
I,
leagues.
I love every one of them, every spot. If you expand,
yes.
say you add 16 more, I want all of those to be at large, the last bubble team. Those are the teams I'd play to get in.
I'm so worried that it's going to be the other way. I'm worried that it's going to be, yeah, 16s, 15s, and 14s can be one-bid leagues at the bottom of the draw playing play-in games, and then the rest of the field can be major conference
correct.
Teams that were selected either because they won their conference or because they were
And here's what else
large.
We've seen. You might as well, because the NIT, it's dying on the vine. Teams say, no, I'm not going to do it. Transfer portal opens. Teams like, I'd rather be recruiting, and rightfully so, than go lose money in the NIT. It's dying. You now have that opportunity to go, okay, we'll add some of those teams and give yourself a little bit bigger But I agree. I've said all along, a 16 should not be playing a play-in game. Let them in the tournament. Let them actually have a real game on a Thursday or Friday and play a one seed and have all of that instead of going and losing on a Tuesday night in Dayton, Ohio.
72 with 8 play-in games for bubble teams.
For the 11-12.
A 72 team field with 8 bubble teams on, you know, eight games with the bubble on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Like I said, make them the 11 and 12.
Love it.
11s and 12s, all, you know, you've got 8 of each.
Speaking of 11 and 12s, Jason, is there a double digit seed that you like to make a little bit of noise or pose a real threat to win at least one game in this thing, if not more?
Oh yeah, I've got a few. I think Grand Canyon is one. Mm. I've watched them play a couple of times, and they're playing up the coast, but they will have a couple of thousand students there. I mean, it's an incredible student following for Grand Canyon. They got some really talented guys. They got a guy that is one of the most talented players in the country that you'll watch.
That's a cheap flight from Phoenix too.
Yeah, well,
you can get there pretty easily.
I was just and getting back to the Spokane situation, who's going to have any students there? Kendra was mentioning this today. San Diego State's 1,300 miles away. That is the closest school to the Spokane region. Is 1,300 miles away.
Is St. Mary's not closer?
That's the only one.
Might be a little closer.
But in the Auburn side,
right? Yeah. Of the four Auburn,
yeah,
of the four Auburn,
yeah. But the people there, I think St. Mary's is 600 miles away.
Yeah, so
like
just next door.
Yeah, I mean that
is crazy.
Yeah, so,
and I don't know how big of a student body we're talking about with St. Mary's.
Well, St. Mary's is tiny. I mean, the Maroc.
They booked that counting on Gonzaga to be
a
top 16 seed, as they always are. And this was the rare year that Gonzaga wasn't, and so you couldn't send Gonzaga to Spokane and count on a bunch of Gonzaga fans in the house. You also didn't really have a Pacific Northwest team in general that would be like, if Oregon had a stronger year and they were at the, you know, in the top 12, top 16, you could have sent Oregon there or Washington. Washington State got close. I mean, they're a 7 seed. You know, if they'd played their way higher up on the overall line, they'd be there. But instead, yeah, it's the island of misfit toys. Isn't it? It's a bunch of programs.
It absolutely is.
You know, all right. They didn't want to look like they were biased by sending any of these teams into the Southeast as sort of underseeded programs. So instead, you send them to a couple of time zones away.
Yeah. So we can talk more basketball. There is football news. The SEC schedule for 2025 announced today. That was everybody expecting that today?
No. Again, let's just do that the day before.
Yeah, before March Madness really kicks off. Right, we'll talk about that and more. We'd love for you to join in. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Shout out to Derek at Southeastern Industrial Contractors, everybody else over there. And also shout out to Drew for producing the podcast and doing a great job with that. The capable one there in the chair, Drew.
Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Attention, large property owners.
To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover. And on the eve of just the full force March Madness, the SEC announces that it is not only, first we heard that the SEC was going to keep an 8-game conference schedule for 2025, and then, not surprisingly, they announced the 2025 schedule, and it is just return trips of 2024.
Correct. Basically, they just punted on the future scheduling format for another year. They just kicked the can down the road and said, okay, we're just going to leave it as is until we figure out more. And we've seen Clemson the other day. We've already seen Florida State and the pushback in the ACC.
Yep.
We've I think they're just going, hey, we got to figure out what this thing's going to look like in a couple of years.
And I think you're absolutely right, Jason. I mean, the SEC doesn't want to go ahead and announce a full-fledged, here's what we're going to do for the long term before they know exactly who's in the conference or if there's more
more additions. More TV money to be had, everything mm-hmm. involved. Yeah, I mean, it's not, a lot of that comes from the playoff side of things mm-hmm. too, but you're still going to have your own deal. I mean, like it's – There's so much involved. There is. So, I mean, for Auburn, it stays the same as the other than you're flipping your
right.
venues.
Yeah, you've got Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, and Missouri at home.
Auburn is the Big 12 portion of Auburn's right. schedule.
And then Arkansas, Oklahoma, A&M, and Vandy.
I guess the Big 8
portion. Auburn and Vandy are starting this every year thing.
It's a sign of...
I think we're headed toward that, too.
It's a sign of uncertainty in the industry, not just... I mean, I guess there's the question of what does ESPN's future look like amid concerning trends in cable subscription numbers and that, how do they live up to the deals that they've made if their revenues decline, although it didn't stop them from making a eye-watering deal with the College Football Playoff very recently. Although I mean they also I guess ABC could be in play with that. There's different ways to sort of distribute mm-hmm. The College Football Playoff to people. But I guess the other uncertainty would be, like you guys said, who's going to be in the league? I mean, if the ACC is in danger of breaking apart, I know the SEC probably isn't interested in adding anyone unless they would make a dent in what kind of football product they're perceived as for, and I guess maybe men's basketball too. There are ACC teams that can raise your profile as a football league, as a men's basketball league. I don't know if the SEC is looking for, adding a big number, but I don't know
if the ACC were to go, hey, poof, we're gone, then you could have a massive dent would be Florida State, Clemson, obviously from the football perspective, and then if you were to get Duke and North Carolina, something like that, where you could add four or do something. I mean, I think that would be. It would be the interesting thing, but Auburn, it stays home. Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Missouri in 2025. So you have, once again, Alabama, Georgia at home again, and then away Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Vandy. How about Vandy? Let's go take the job at Vandy. You're in once again, the next 2 years for Vandy. You have Auburn, Kentucky, LSU, Missouri, Alabama, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas.
That is ridiculous. That is.
Well, I mean, there's not anyone.
I mean, of course, you're not going to get an easy. You're not going to get an easy draw in the SEC.
But there's not even a semi easy. South Carolina, the easiest
game they've got. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah. So it's a interesting thing, and there's been some scuttlebutt out there. We did not get it today, but there's been some scuttlebutt out there about changing times for SEC games.
Yeah,
to shift a little bit and do some of that stuff.
I mean, there have been a couple of stories written
that
the SEC games are likely to start 11:45, 3:15, and 6:45 for SEC Network.
Give you a staggered start and finish from the other games. Obviously, the big noon game that's kicked off that's become a big deal for the Big Ten and some of those things. Give you a little bit of a staggered start there.
The worst argument for keeping an 8-game schedule is that it helps teams that will struggle to make it to 6 wins pad their schedule with winnable games out of conference, as though winning five or six, what I don't think people realize is how irrelevant the bowls are going to become amid an expanded college football playoff.
I think they realize it. The people who were in Nashville last year realize it.
Yeah, the difference between winning five or six or seven when we get to 14,
it doesn't matter anymore.
When we get to 14 teams in the college football playoff, the notion of like, oh well, you got to get to 6 wins for bowl eligibility.
14.
If you're not in the 14 teams,
that's the dumbest thing.
But you know what? You know it will be the great equalizer, because if you're not in the 14 team playoff and you're in major conference college football, it doesn't matter if you won 3 or 6 or if you're
nobody
not in
cares.
Or 8 or 9.
If you're not in that thing,
it's what's coming. I hate it because I hate that it's become all or nothing, and that's what it's going to be, because there should still be something to feel good about if you go 9-3. There should still be something good about that, and it's not going to happen.
No, you're right. They're going to be they're going to be some 9-win teams. You look at the top. Go back and check the top 25. You're gonna have teams that have won 9 games.
You go 9
that
wins,
aren't in there.
9 wins, and you go, hey, we're home.
Especially if you tinker with it to insert a group of 5 program because
they're going
to
do that.
Have to do that, and also if you, I mean, but speaking of which, there's going to be nothing for anyone. But like, I mean, I'm thinking about like what if you're the second best group of 5 champion. Right, like, what if you're the one that didn't get into the – like, you're going to go to a consolation bowl game that's never felt less –
yeah, and it's going to be even worse. You're right.
Yeah.
Like, we think about our memory of this is Auburn-UCF. When you go, one team – that the UCF in this argument would be in at this time, but say it's the next team, and they're 12-1. Had a monster year, you just missed the playoffs. No, you care nothing about this game.
Yeah,
and I mean, again, I'm telling you, I it hit me 5 minutes into the game in Nashville last year, where I'm standing on the sidelines going, "Why was I here 3 days ago?"
Yeah,
it absolutely has. It felt like a spring game. Now it didn't to Maryland.
How stark is that difference between like going to Capital One Bowl 20 years ago with the team.
Hey, going to the Music City Bowl in 2003, where that was the springboard for an undefeated season, where they, hey, we finally felt it, and then you get Al Borges in, but you started going, okay, these guys, they don't want to lose, and it was important. And no.
Well, everybody then knew that they were going to be back
year. They didn't yet, though. I mean, you had a whole bunch of guys that just had.
Well, I mean, but they weren't going to go playing somewhere else.
Correct.
Unless it was the NFL.
Yeah, and you're right. And I heard an argument, and I know we're going to a break, but I'm.
No, we're fine.
But it's the same principle. I'm listening to people talk about the big names in college basketball almost exclusively are female. Right? The biggest names in this season almost exclusively.
Is there a men's player who was a more familiar to the, forget about Caitlin Clark.
Even Angel Reese.
Angel Reese is what I was going to say. Is there a men's
even
player
Zach
as famous
Edey,
as
other than they go, that's that big tall guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a men's player as famous as
no,
Angel Reese?
No.
Bronny James is cheating.
Like that was not famous because of himself.
Yeah, that's cheating.
But that just, and you know, you're thinking about the best players on the best teams, and you go here because I was thinking about it driving over here. I watch a lot of basketball. Like, name me a UConn player.
Yeah,
they won the national
championship last year.
Name me a starter other than Kyle Filipowski at Duke. I mean, like, you can't. Because the one and done and
the portal
and even not as much about that to me. It's been about over the years you've taken every really good freshman, even when they weren't ready, and they've gone ahead and gone to the NBA, and you've done that over and over and over again, and now you're taking players who aren't even close to ready because, well, they don't have. There's nobody else left. You don't have any old guys to draft. They're all gone. You've taken all those teams away. And now you don't get to see players in the college game that are stars from freshman to junior. Mm-hmm. Now they might become a star as a junior, but they only have a fleeting glimpse of them. Women's game, you learn of them as a freshman. They have another year and another year. It has taken away that, in my opinion, not the love of the game, but, oh, yeah, everybody watches this part of the site, but you'll learn somebody, and then next year they'll be gone. You won't know who they are. And so it's so different, and it's why the women they've taken advantage of it because it's they've got the superstars in the game right now because people know who they are.
That's Jason Caldwell with us here in hour number one of the Wednesday Drive. You can join us as well, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in.
The Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell, got Drew at the controls. Let's get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Jeff is up first. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Good. Hey, Jeff.
Good. Getting a little excited around this time Friday. We ought to be around the second half of the game.
So. Oh, yeah. Should be. Well, it should be.
Yeah, as long as that first one gets on out of there.
Oh, yeah, that's the key. I'm glad I have a work schedule that evening, so I'm going to make sure I'm at a local establishment, which is not too far from my job, so make sure I don't get stuck at home. So I'm really excited about the game. So I think it's going to be a tough game. I hope we don't underestimate Yale. Usually this first game is usually the toughest game because, you know, just the butterflies, you don't know what to expect. So I hope the team is mentally prepared and ready to go.
I think having a veteran team with so many older guys, I think that's where this is important.
Yes.
And, yeah, you know, I think the other thing is, too, is that because it's not every day, you can you got a game. One game.
And if you don't win it, it's over.
And then you have a day off. You don't have to turn around and play the next day. You got plenty of time to prepare, do those things. And so, I think it's – I don't know. I mean, I'll probably be proven wrong. It'll probably be really tough. It feels like a good matchup for Auburn. This is not a team that turns you over a whole lot. That's normally when Auburn's issues occur is when they turn the ball over. And so they don't get to the foul line a bunch. They don't try to get down. Normally Auburn's issues is they foul a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The two things that Auburn has issues with, this team doesn't really do a whole lot of. So that, to me, I think the best thing about this team and matchup is that I think they've shown they can play any style. And people just assume this team wants to get up and run up down the court and go flying. This is it's turned into a really good half court basketball team.
I agree.
And
I
that's
agree.
What and Yale wants. Yale wants you, they want you to play half court. I think this team's okay doing that.
Yeah, and our guards are really playing well. I love the leadership that the guards are demonstrating these last 5 or 6 ball games. I think that's going to be the key.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's always the thing. We talked about Texas A&M earlier. That is the thing. When you get to the NCAA tournament, and even I mean, I don't watch any NBA anymore, but you think about the last championship teams that had the dominant center, where you go, hey, that everything revolves around that guy, Shaq. I mean,
yeah,
it's been a long time.
Duncan to a degree,
yeah,
you know,
but
maybe,
he was, but even then, he was a guy that was a distributor. He was almost like a point forward, and
he was.
But
it's
guards. Purdue last year, Zach Edey had a good game. But they'd made no shots, and so can you have guys that can make plays? Because I heard coach talking today, said you can take a big man out of the game. Hey, it don't matter. We'll put 3 guys on him. We don't care. But if you got a guard that can break a defense down, that's where it's important, that's what Auburn has to have from these guys.
We were talking earlier in the show about potential Cinderellas or teams that could be in jeopardy of going out earlier than their seeding would suggest. To me, A&M, Texas, and Florida – are teams that for a 7, 8, 9, 10 line type of team, exceptional guards. Like that's where they could pose a problem for a Florida. It would be Marquette.
Yeah.
Texas would be Tennessee. A&M it would be Houston. Like teams like that. Like that is, you know, superior guard play for where they happen to be seated.
Oh yeah, and I think the key is I love where we have our depth. I think the year-long depth is really going to play a part. So I'm excited, very confident. Well, I have a question with respect to Spokane. You know, nothing against – why is Spokane such a popular on the NCAA rotation?
Well, they have to have places on – they feel like on the West Coast. And
correct.
And it is it honestly I had to look at it to see it. Spokane is larger than any city in the state of Alabama, so it's a much bigger it's a much bigger city than I thought it was. It was 250,000 something like that, but it's a basketball place with Gonzaga. It's a basketball place.
Sadly, there hasn't been great basketball played in that part of the country this year, and that's one of the things. Yeah, Bruce Pearl yesterday, or I guess it was day before. It was yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning.
I mean, there's so many media opportunities lately. Yesterday morning before they left, said, you know, he would love to see a way. I just don't know the logistically how they do that unless they did it like mid-season and you had some possible sites. to be able to have pods in areas where there are more teams that are going to be likely in the tournament.
Yeah, this is a place in these first round games where they feel like they can do it without having to have 20,000-25,000 seats. So these are, like we saw last year in Birmingham, you can get back to those now. For years, it's been Albuquerque, New Mexico, Salt Lake City. Those have been almost yearly, yeah, the two places, mm-hmm, they've gone out there. Spokane's kind of taking in that rotation a little bit in terms of the West Coast.
Six times since 2003 that Spokane Arena has been a site for the first two rounds of the men's NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's something about it that they really love. So, you know, I'm sure it's a beautiful area of the country. You know, well, we just wish luck. But yeah, I must share something with you guys before I hang up. So yesterday I'm driving past the airport, Montgomery Airport, right around this time. True story. I see this big plane taking off as I'm heading toward 85, if you follow where I'm going.
Right.
I see this sign say Eastern. I was like, what the heck is Eastern Airlines? You know, that airline been gone forever. So last night I'm checking my phone. I received this email message or text message or on my Facebook page. I see where the team was loading up on an Eastern Airline plane. Had no idea. The plane takes off right above my head. I just thought that was amazing.
Yeah, that is. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I got to see the team in the air after all.
How about that?
Yeah, I just wanted to share that. I thought that was amazing. I saw him flying right over my head and had no idea that was him. So, another War Eagle. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jeff. Great hearing from you.
Couple things. I was reading about Spokane getting ready for the tournament, and I don't know the process of. I would, and I'll defer to you on this one, Jason. Do cities bid to be included in the first two, the first round,
yes,
or the first two rounds?
Yes.
One of the public officials for Spokane said there was a study suggesting that Spokane can generate $4 to $6 million for the local economy,
yep,
when they host the first weekend, mm-hmm, of the NCAA tournament. Someone else said that the arena is officially the tickets are sold out for the games.
Oh, it will sell, yes, out. It won't be full.
Yeah,
it'll be sold.
They've got it ready for. And how about this? Is a kudos to the crew of this place. Thursday night, this past Thursday night, there was a Blake Shelton concert at the arena. They had two hockey games over the weekend, and then the moment the hockey game ended Sunday, the turnover started and they had to start getting ready for this thing to host NCAA tournament action. Now, I was just in an arena that was struggling with the turnover from, mm-hmm, a hockey arena to a basketball arena. It was in Pensacola, Florida, and it was a little bit warm outside,
yeah,
which you know could lead to moisture on the court, things like that. I feel like they're more.
Yeah, it's only supposed to be, I think, in the 40s, even like Saturday, yeah, Sunday.
I don't think that will be cooler. I don't think it'll be as difficult.
Chance
to keep
of snow
to keep the arena.
That's
in there.
Crazy.
Yeah, how about that? Auburn could see a little bit of snow. Now, if you keep winning in this thing, you're probably not going to see any in Phoenix. I would say that might, you know,
no,
but your first two stops could.
There's sunshine at the end of it.
There is sunshine at the end of the rainbow if you can keep playing, that's for sure. And a place that has been pretty good to Auburn.
Oh yeah, no kidding. My wife was just reminding me of that. Well, we could go to Phoenix.
I feel like I would probably go visit mom.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I keep telling myself I'll go to the next one and things like that.
You never know if you're going to get another chance. All right, yeah, let's get one more call before our final break of hour number one. And Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Really looking forward to the basketball tournament. I think we've got a possibility of making a good run. But before Jason leaves, I'd like to get an update on some recruiting news.
There have been a lot of it, that's for sure. They have had so many visitors over the course of last week. There's more there today. You know, one of the top 2026 players in the country, Emmanuel Iheanacho, is a big offensive tackle who's on campus today, tomorrow. Probably going to be the number one player in the 2026 class, or he's going to be up there. But over the weekend, they had probably 40, 45 really top prospects on campus. They brought out food trucks. They set out a big tent. They turned it into like a block party almost.
Oh, yeah.
Had a DJ, and it was great. I think the players loved it. All the kids that came in had a really good time. Alvin Henderson, one of the guys there, running back from Elba, is a guy that I think is getting closer to making a decision. That's one of the things you look at going, okay, who do you feel like is getting a little bit closer? I think Eric Winters from Enterprise, who was there, is a guy that continues, I think, to have good things. A guy to maybe pay attention to a little bit is a guy named Ty Buster. Is a big offensive lineman. He also plays some defense, but I think he'll be an offensive lineman down the road. But was on campus with his family. 6'5", 280, 285 or so, kid from Kannapolis, North Carolina. Got some connections to the staff and Jake Thornton. I think one of these guys, you look at him and you go, this is a guy that, you know, not in the – when you start talking about the prospect areas, he's not one of those guys that plays at IMG Academy. Sometimes that Carolina region can get a little bit overlooked at times because you don't get to see them until maybe they get a little bit older. I think he's a guy that is right there for Auburn, and they want to go five or six deep on the offensive line. That's the goal for Jake Thornton. And so overall, it was a really good weekend. They'll have more coming in this weekend as they look to kind of continue to do it. Won't be as big of a weekend, obviously, with everything going on. But they're starting to get some kids back in to get ready for, you know, A-Day and do some of that. But yeah, they've had obviously Tavares Dice, offensive line commitment. That the most recent commitment for them is still a class that's ranked seventh in the country, and so really good start. A couple of tight ends, a couple of offensive linemen, probably five offensive linemen, maybe six in this class before they're over with. So pretty good goings on right now in terms of recruiting.
Well, thanks for the update. Glad to hear it. And how did the baseball team do? And I'll let y'all go.
Last night, they won 2-1. Didn't hit the ball very well, but they got really good pitching.
They got good pitching, which was good. Going to need everything this weekend. Arkansas comes in starting tomorrow night. This is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series against the number one team in the country. Three starters, worst ERAs, 2.5 for their trio of weekend starters. Thursday night, you'll see maybe the best pitcher in the country.
And Auburn's going with Connor McBride.
Auburn going with Connor McBride. I think they've been kind of pointing towards this anyway. Connor actually had a little bit of this virus that's been going around, and so they just held him out of his start that he would have gotten last night through a bullpen. Worked out good, so he'll get the start on Thursday night. And you know, he's been a guy that's been pretty consistent around that five-inning mark. If he can get Auburn five innings and allow them to get into the game and then go bullpen to bullpen late in this one, that'd be where you're at. But when you start talking about Arkansas, you look at it, lefty power arm. Butch Thompson mentioned it today, and it's absolutely 100% true. For Auburn now, it's going to be what these right-handed bats start to do. We've seen Cooper Weiss be pretty solid at the top. Bobby Pierce missed that time with the virus, hasn't come back as well. Chris Stanfield hasn't been himself so far at the bottom end of this thing. Can they get some of those?
Fabian's got to get it going.
Fabian got to get going again. You know, Javon Hernandez had been swinging it well, didn't have very good at bats last night. Right-handed bats, that's going to be the key for them when you start talking about taking on, especially this lefty heavy pitching from Arkansas.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. We need to get to our final break of hour number one. A few more minutes with Jason Caldwell. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Revenue Commissioner Olin.
Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Final couple of minutes of hour number one. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here with us for a couple more minutes. JC, let everybody know, I mean, as we said, this is a crazy time. You got folks spread across the country. And a lot of things to be covered.
It is crazy. You're right. Nathan is on the West Coast. We'll have basketball coverage. They'll have practice, interviews, all that stuff tomorrow. So we'll have that. Auburn women play tomorrow night at 6:00 against Arizona. People have talked about it, about Auburn seed and all that stuff. The women got a much more raw deal than the men do, in my opinion, to be a play-in game, finishing two games ahead of Texas A&M A&M was 6-10, did not have to get a play-in game. So this is a difficult one. Arizona is, you look at their record, 17-15, and they were 7-0 to start the year. So they're 10-15 their last 25 games. But included in that is a win at Stanford, a double overtime loss to USC, and then another two-point loss to USC all in the last week and a half or so. Mm. Those are good teams. So this will be a challenge for Auburn from women's side. But, yeah, Nathan's out there. We'll be here. Got baseball this weekend. We have Pro Day Friday coming up.
Yeah, you mentioned player interviews tomorrow.
They'll have a pretty important practice on Saturday. Probably do some scrimmaging in that. So we'll see if we can glean some information from that as well. So, yeah, a whole lot going on. So check us out, auburnundercover.com, and follow me on Twitter at ITATJason.
Man, it's great to have you in here. Really appreciate it, Jason. Man, thanks. Get a little rest. Best to you with everything going on.
Maybe next week.
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
All right. We are halfway done. We'll get to our top of the hour break. Come on in and join us in hour number two of the Wednesday Drive.
Sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on another. I mean, it's just a gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. Beautiful hump day here, and it is really the eve of complete madness tomorrow. I mean, of course, it's always the eve of madness when you're talking about us. But, no, I mean, we have two more of the first four, is that what they want to call
tip
it?
Tip off,
the
whatever you want to call it.
I mean, you know, they don't want to call them play-ins, but they're play-in games. We have two more of those tonight before tomorrow starts the full slate starting at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. And, you know, who else is going to be starting at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning? That's the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
Yeah. They're
gonna open the doors at 11 o'clock. And amazingly, they're going to let us in. And they're going to, the on the line and the drive, both going to be live at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown tomorrow. Of course, I mean, for our regular shows, liable to be there a little earlier. I mean, be able to check out all the action. I love the first full day of the tournament. Who doesn't? I mean, everybody's got at least a fun pool, fun bracket that they're playing. And then there are the folks that are convinced they're going to win they're going to win the million.
Yeah, I mean, don't start purchasing things expecting to win the grand prize in one of these national competitions.
No, because there are always just some games that nobody saw coming. Some upsets that nobody saw
the
coming.
The unpredictability is a huge part of the fun. Look, if college basketball, Bill, if college basketball said, you know what we're going to do is we're going to pick the best after all the conference tournaments are over, we're going to take a committee. And they're going to pick the eight best teams, and those teams are going to play a tournament, but every round is going to be a best of three or a best of five and not a one-game elimination sort of deal. Look, that would probably go a longer way towards determining who's the actual best
team.
Who's the best team? Wouldn't be nearly as fun.
No, it wouldn't.
Wouldn't be nearly as fun.
This one is great because it's, A, you lose and it's over. It doesn't matter if you're much better and just had an off night or something crazy happened. Tough. You're done.
Yes. If your shots, I mean, we didn't think we'd see a 16 beat a 1, or we hadn't seen it before. Now we've seen it twice in the last five tournaments, six tournaments. We see 14s and 15s get scares, you know, the other team on a regular basis.
Am I right? Last year, no 12 won.
Last year, we didn't get a 12.
We didn't have a 12.
But we had Arizona bounce as Princeton, right?
It's become even more unpredictable than than it was just a few years ago.
Yeah, we had a 15 in the Sweet 16 last year. Yes. in the Princeton Tigers, and we had a
Florida Atlantic and San Diego State in the Final Four.
Yeah, you had some teams that people didn't see coming at all in the Final Four. You had San Diego State in the national championship game.
Yep.
And you had a 16 seed win the Fairleigh Dickinson, right? You had the knockoff Purdue.
I mean, it's just
won the play-in and then won the and you know what was crazy about both the Dickinson win and the Princeton win was like they didn't feel like, oh, they're holding on for dear life and now they got it. Princeton outplayed
they like they yeah
outplayed
they
Arizona there. Like they were the team that should be the top seed, and the other one was a team making frantic mistakes and what have you. So yeah, it's such a great time, and tomorrow and the first weekend, you get the first, the first 4 days of wall to wall action. So such a special time for college athletics, and you get the other tournaments going on as well. The Auburn women will be in action.
That is right,
very soon.
So tomorrow night at 6, as Jason said, 5:45 airtime. So yes, I mean there is so much going on, and there's baseball tomorrow night too. Arkansas, the number one team in the country, comes in, but that's. It's going to be really tough with Auburn still trying to solidify its pitching rotation. And we've got spring practice about to have another scrimmage on Saturday.
The coaching staff and the players would sign up for mid-60s and sunny.
You're not kidding.
The rest of this spring, if that's what they can get.
Yeah, it's not looking wonderful for Friday. Hopefully Saturday. The rain.
It's supposed to rain all day Friday, right?
It's supposed to rain all day Friday. Hopefully it's out of here Saturday, because Saturday's also Kennedy's second birthday.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday to the Drive's favorite baby.
And obviously they got a big party scheduled planned and everything.
Wow, okay.
So
happy birthday, Kennedy.
Yeah.
So outstanding.
I'm sure she's listening.
As she'd miss a show.
Her dad is.
That's right. Yeah, my understanding. Yeah, doesn't miss one of these things. So,
all right. He's usually listening on the podcast. Just depends on what they're doing here in the afternoon. But yeah, I mean, so many different things going on. We had a chance to today spend a little time with the Auburn offensive coaches. We can talk about that. I mean, we'd love to get your thoughts here as we're ready for the tournament to kick in full bore.
Jake Thornton, and I want to hear about the conversation.
I didn't get to hear Jake.
Oh, he was good, and he was good, and he was talking about. I mean, I asked him. We can run some of it if you want to. We can get it to Drew. Justin Ferguson available at bottom of the hour.
Good,
so
we're
gonna dispatch from Spokane from Ferguson. He's got to sort some things out, but he should be able to call in before the show is over.
And speaking of getting in touch with folks in Spokane, Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, is going to be joining us tomorrow at around 4:30 from Spokane.
Yeah, and I guess we're going to try Dylan as well.
That's
at some
right.
point
we'll,
tomorrow.
We'll try a doubleheader from Spokane tomorrow while we're on the air over at the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
Yeah, we'll try Dylan Cardwell tomorrow as well. We don't know exactly what his schedule is going to be like while the team
really
is
sure.
up there, but we're definitely going to try before the end of the week to get a report in from Dylan. If we got to play it for you on Friday, whatever works, we'll try to do that. But looking forward to tomorrow's show from the Plaza.
Should we? I guess we should mention the plan for Friday as well. Friday, we will not have live broadcasts here on ESPN 106.7 from 3 to 5. Game is slated to start at 3:15. So on the line will sort of be a pregame show from 2 to 3. And then we will come on at 5 and should be able to, give you some postgame thoughts. If the game is on time, it'll be over somewhere in the 5:20 to 5:30 range. So we'll be giving you thoughts on the Auburn game and other games of the day, and then some post-game thoughts as well on Friday.
Yeah, looking forward to Friday's show. We'll be a little bit different. Wings 94.3 will have the call.
Absolutely.
You can listen in on Wings 94.3 or use the use your various...
No. No streaming allowed here in the postseason. It is.
Is it Westwood One? Is the streaming? Someone's cornered the market on the streaming exclusive. Yeah.
Wings 94.3 for the live broadcast.
Right, and that's terrestrial radio, right? Because there's somebody. I guess there's. Yeah, when you get into the postseason, there are different. I think it's Westwood One. Somebody has sort of the exclusive streaming rights to this thing. But locally, you can hear Wings 94.3, and they will have the Auburn the Auburn Sports Network call of the game.
We're underway. We're here in hour number two of the drive, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Love for you to join in, and you can give us a call on the drive hotline, 334-321-1390, and that is presented by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the drive text box. That is presented by our good friends at the Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center, available however you listen to podcasts.
Love to get some thoughts for long shots. Who is a lower seed that you see going... let's say, who's the Sweet 16?
Well, people love Samford now even more with the report.
With the report that Kansas, learning I guess from Florida State and football, that it's better not to let everyone know who won't be available for the postseason.
Yeah,
because Kansas shouldn't have been a 4 seed. If there had been word about the health of their roster.
Hey, did you see the Ohtani news that just broke in the last like hour or so? So apparently Shohei Ohtani's interpreter has been fired and is under suspicion for stealing millions of dollars from Shohei Ohtani to pay off gambling debts. This is in the last hour.
Oh no, I did not see that.
Eventful last day or so for Shohei Ohtani. You had the bizarre bomb threat or whatever it was at the Dodgers game in Korea. He gets a couple of hits, steals a base in his debut last night. Now his interpreter, who he's had since he came to America, since he was with the Angels initially, is the subject of a very serious sounding investigation. So the headlines around the most famous. How about this? The most famous baseball player in the world. Right now, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, sure. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, so we'll go that far with it. And he's a bizarre piece of news breaking in the last couple of minutes.
All right, let's go ahead and get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Terry gets us started. Hey, Terry.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's going on?
Not much. Just another day. Beautiful day out there. Guys, what is the start times for the game tomorrow, Friday, for Auburn? I have yet to hear the start time.
3:15 is the scheduled start. That is following. It's crazy. All right, so San Diego State and UAB play the first game at 12:40. Well, actually, they play at 12:45. Auburn and Yale play at 3:15, and that will be followed, I believe, the Alabama game. Alabama's up next, so there'll be UAB, Auburn, and Alabama playing back-to-back-to-back in Spokane. But there should be time because they're 2.5 hours, between the game start times of that San Diego State-UAB game and Auburn-Yale. So 3:15-ish is the start time.
Has the time also been set for the next round on Sunday?
No, it is not.
I didn't know. Now I wanted to ask you guys a baseball question. Let me switch. The rule last year that throws the attempts over to first base, pickoff attempts, was that just a trial thing or is that a set rule now?
No, that is a set rule. No. That is something that, I mean, it could change, but that was put in to speed the game up and to add base running back into the game.
You know, it sounds like for the most part, the rule changes that were implemented, whether it was the ghost runner on second, the pitch clock, the ghost runner on second during extra innings in the regular season.
I still don't like that.
The pitch clock. I understand wanting to shorten extra inning games. It's the only thing is they don't want 18-inning games in the regular season. But you're right.
The other ones I can tolerate much better.
Well, and I just hate pitchers getting saddled with losses, right?
Because
they gave up one hit to in a situation where I get that too. I wish there was maybe you add a third thing in the record like hockey has, right? You have extra innings losses. For relievers,
Bill, I'm with you on that ghost runner thing because that sounds like something in the backyard.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So I didn't know. What are the numbers on the attempts you can go over? Can you guys tell me? I thought it was a trial thing. I didn't know.
Is it after two or after?
It's two or three. It's two or three times you go. It's either two or three, and after that, you've got to come home. You can't go back to first.
Boy, Ricky Henderson and Vince Coleman have a field.
Yeah, no kidding.
They were still playing,
Well, I mean that surely. I mean, you know, look at Ronald Acuña last year. You would expect that would probably have been about a 40 or 50 steal instead of 70 plus.
You can attempt a third pickoff attempt, but you have to get the runner or it's a balk.
Right.
Oh, okay. No, thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. That's why I was thinking three, but yeah, the third has got to work.
Third one, yeah. You're limited to two pickoff attempts.
Three attempts and you're balked. Not three strikes and you're out.
You're limited to two free pickoff attempts per plate appearance. If you attempt a third one, you have to get the runner or it's a balk.
334-321-1390, and Russell is up next. Hey, Russell.
Hey guys, I got a few or two in the same side of the bracket that I just give my opinion on. I don't trust Arizona and I don't trust Baylor. Just watching them play recently, I just don't trust them. So I've got New Mexico and Nevada playing to get into. What is that? The Elite Eight?
Yeah,
so both of them.
New Mexico, I believe, favored over Clemson right now. If you were to look at that game on the betting markets, even though New Mexico is the 11 and Clemson is the 6,
and Nevada's the 10 right there. So I've got them paired up as a 10-11 in the Sweet 16. But
so you're not trusting Arizona. I take it would be
well. Arizona is one of those teams that they either are out in a hurry, or look out, they could be playing for it all. I mean, that's just Arizona's history. And I've sort of got a feeling that after they were so disappointing a year ago, look out for them this year. I mean, you never know. I did a couple of brackets. So in my bracket, with Auburn winning it all, I've got James Madison as the lowest seed in the Sweet 16, so I only go a 12 there.
I'm nervous about taking Duke out early. That's the only thing. I like James Madison a lot. I think they're underseeded as a 12. I do think they're going to beat Wisconsin.
That's the only bracket that I had them winning.
I think between Madison, McNeese, and Oregon. There are three. I mean, Creighton's got shooters, though. That's the thing about taking Creighton out early is that that's the winner of South Carolina, Oregon has such a tough three seed on the other side in that Pittsburgh game. I think Alabama is one of the more interesting teams in the whole draw too, Bill.
Yeah, they're not exactly a low seed.
No, they're not. But you have people saying Charleston, watch out for Charleston, watch out for
Charleston plays too much of a game that I think fits what Alabama wants to do. I mean, Alabama's just going to outscore them.
You have some people saying watch out for Charleston, watch out for Grand Canyon. We just talked to somebody who has Grand Canyon in the Sweet 16 in the first hour. You have other people saying Alabama has been placed into a region they can win. Like Alabama's been placed in a region.
They got a much kinder, they got a much nicer road. Looks like a less bumpy road than anybody in the East.
I mean, North Carolina is by consensus the weakest one seed in the draw. Granted, they are still a one seed, and then you've got the Mississippi State team that Alabama's seen a couple of times.
They've got to get by Michigan State.
They have to get by Michigan State.
I mean, I like Mississippi State. But I don't know that I like them. It's hard for me to pick against Michigan State there in that first round.
It's like we were saying with Jake yesterday. The only thing Michigan State has going for them is Tom Izzo. But it's a powerful thing.
That's a big thing going for them.
Well, it's a little bit like Syracuse used to have with Boeheim, where it's like you didn't feel player for player like Syracuse should beat some of these teams, and then you'd look and they're in the Sweet 16 or they're in the Elite Eight as a team with. With seemingly kind of obvious flaws, and so yeah, I think I would be surprised to see Michigan State make a run in this thing because I don't think they have I don't think they have those that kind of players. To beat Mississippi State to in what I imagine will be a just a low scoring fist fight.
It will be
a physical game. Like that's going to be that's a race to 55, isn't it? Michigan State and Mississippi State. Like that thing
maybe
is
a little more. But
I mean, Mississippi State has not given up. We were talking about it when we were previewing the Auburn game. Like they have held almost everyone to under 70 over the last month and a half.
Yeah,
like
there are 73.
I think it's three games since February 1st where Mississippi State's opponent has broken 70. Mm-hmm. Like it is not a team I think the loser of Michigan State Mississippi State might not have 60 points, Bill. Like I think the loser of that game may finish sub 60.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number 2. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind? Some thoughts on the tournament, long shots. We've got some audio from football coaches that we can let you hear. Some interesting things that we heard today. So stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Uncle T-Bone here. Do you wake up in the morning?
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio and Drew at the controls.
Looking forward to talking with our next guest as he is up in Spokane covering the team. He's been to virtually every – I think Justin has been able to go to every Auburn game away from Neville Arena this season. I could be wrong about that, but I think he has. There were a couple home games he had to miss because there were football obligations as well. But we welcome in Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, who is calling us from a couple of time zones away, right?
Yeah, how's the great Northwest?
Yeah, it's actually really nice today. There's a chance of snow this weekend, which I'm not looking forward to. But today it's pretty beautiful weather. It's like 65 here right now. It's just a really, really nice flight in. We're really enjoying what the early view of Spokane as we get ready to spend the weekend here potentially with Auburn basketball.
Now, are you a part of – we were talking with Jason Caldwell in hour number one about, again, not to look past two basketball games this weekend. It's been 5 years since Auburn got past the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. What are the details here, Bill?
Jason was just talking about how the gang that headed up there. You guys had a pretty big contingent on the plane, I guess, that flew out early this morning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We left Auburn at 2:30 Central Time this morning, we had a flight that left at 7 Eastern Time out of Atlanta, and you go to Atlanta to Seattle, Spokane. Most of the folks who were up here were on that flight. It's been a long travel day, but it's been pretty smooth, I'd have to say.
And then if Auburn is still dancing after this weekend, a quick turnaround before they'll be playing in the Sweet 16 in Boston. If Auburn is able to survive the first two weekends of this thing, and let's look at Friday's game. Auburn coming in after winning the SEC tournament, first time since 2019 Auburn has won that event, and now they come in as a 4 seed, and they're taking on an Ivy League school in Yale. I think people are surprised that Yale is in there, just because for most of the season Princeton looked like they were going to be able to return. I think Columbia also had a strong season, but Princeton was a team people thought would be able to return to the NCAA tournament after making the Sweet 16 last year. Instead, it's the Yale Bulldogs. What are you expecting in Auburn's first round matchup, Justin?
You don't want to engage too much in stereotypes, but I mean Yale's a Ivy League basketball team. They play a very Ivy League style, run a Princeton offense, a lot of five out. They take care of the ball. They know their stuff. They run a lot of it's constant motion, a lot of reads, a lot of back cuts. It's one of those offenses that plays slow and methodically and just tries to maximize their own possessions, and play it efficiently and try to really challenge your defense to play locked in, disciplined basketball. They've got some weapons. They've got a couple of shooters that are among the best in the country right now from three-point range. They got a 7-footer in Danny Wolf, that really skilled big guy that does a lot of different things for them in that offense. So it's an interesting case because this Yale team, I don't think they particularly match up very well against Auburn because, you know, we've seen this season, if you play slow against Auburn, that really favors Auburn's defense. You know, and Auburn obviously has an athleticism advantage. I think they're going to be able to kind of pressure them on the ball. You know, Yale played two games this season against, you know, what I would consider to be high-quality teams in college basketball in Kansas and in Gonzaga, lost by 15 in both of those games. You know, you kind of feel like around that mark is where the expectation is. And just for Auburn, I think the key, as Bruce Pearl talked about yesterday, and, you know, as I wrote about today, the Observer, key thing for Auburn is just they got to keep being themselves. If they want to beat Yale, if they want to avoid an upset, they just got to do a lot of what they did at the SEC tournament and just carry it over into Spokane because the really disciplined defense, sharing the ball on offense will really, really help. And then, you know, the depth's a big thing too. I mean, Auburn, we know Auburn plays a deep 10-man rotation, deeper than any other major conference team in college basketball. Yale, you know, in the Ivy League tournament, these last two games, they only played 7 guys. So, I mean, you think the depth should be able, you know, the depth and the pace should be able to favor Auburn in this one.
Yeah, it's a Yale team that you know, I would think when we're talking about games this year where Auburn looks to be the prohibitive favorite, you need a really fast start by the underdog, yeah, and you need a really slow start by Auburn to make this thing interesting. Because I think if Yale finds themselves trailing in the second half, you know, it's not really, like you said, with the minutes they distribute, it's not really a team that's built to win the final 10 minutes against Auburn. Maybe they can win the first 20 by enough that it doesn't matter if they lose the final 10 by a couple of points. But, you know, they really need to start fast if they're going to run with Auburn for 40 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff that Yale does well. It doesn't necessarily match up super well against Auburn, and I think that's kind of the big thing. I talked about the pace. You know, Auburn, when they have played slow offenses this season, they've been able to kind of dominate them. We saw it, you know, again in Nashville with the South Carolina game. You know, and I think the other thing there is that if you look at this Yale team, you know, they don't crash the offensive glass a ton. They crash the defensive glass. It's just a team that, you know, they're going to play methodically. They're going to try to limit possessions. They're going to try. And so on paper, you look at a team that, hey, they're disciplined. They got shooters. They got a big man who can go to work, you know, and they're going to play, you know, methodical basketball. Like on paper, you would look at that and say, hey, that's the ingredients for you know, potential 4-13 upset, right? I do think, though, the way Auburn has played, their depth, their defense, their balance, it just does not match up super well with Yale. I'm not saying Yale, you know, it's impossible for Yale. I mean, Yale could win this game, obviously. It's March Madness. But like you said, Dan, I think there's a lot of things that are going to have to break Yale's way, and it would have to be kind of a deviation from what we've seen from Auburn, especially these last couple of weeks.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, I was going to say, yeah, Auburn's not a team that has been prone to turning it over an awful lot, and Yale's not a team that really turns it up defensively, whereas Auburn is. And I know Yale, I believe, is averaging fewer turnovers than Auburn, but I don't know how many times they've faced the type of defense with the athletes that Auburn has.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Bill, because, like, you look at Yale's, you know, I think Yale's, like, top 15 in the country, top 20 in turnover rate this year. The only time they've played, you know, a really high-level defense this season made up of, like, you know, top players. I mean, Gonzaga's defense hasn't been great this year. But then when they played Kansas, they turned the ball over a ton in that game, you know, season high in turnovers against Kansas. Obviously, that game coming at Allen. So, I mean, like, it's one of those things where, you know, I think Auburn can do some of the stuff that Kansas was able to do. And, you know, like I said, they didn't blow the doors off of Yale. But, you know, this is – you can look at it and say, hey, you know, the bottom line is that Yale has not played a team of Auburn's athleticism, depth, guard play, you know, front court play, just all around just kind of talent, you know, in a few months, you know, about 3 months now. So I think Auburn, you know, we've seen Auburn get off to really good starts here recently and kind of shell shock teams early. If they could do that to Yale, it could be a pretty fun, you know, game for first round game for Auburn.
If chalk holds, Auburn would be facing a team from last year's national championship game, San Diego State, Chad Baker-Mazzara's former team. in the round of 32 among the many storylines you could have there.
Yeah, if not, they'd be facing UAB.
A familiar opponent for Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers and Andy Kennedy and the UAB Blazers. Let's start with San Diego State. Like, what do you think, what would you be expecting from an Auburn-San Diego State matchup in the round of 32?
A defensive slugfest. We were talking earlier today about San Diego State and our boy Henry Patton from Rivals. I think he made the comment that San Diego State reminds him of Mississippi State with just some more talent, some more pieces, maybe some more title contending experience. And I think that's what you see out of this team. This San Diego State team, elite on the defensive end. This is a top 10 defense. They do a lot of stuff like Auburn really, really well. They just lock you down in the half court. They limit, you from getting quality shots. That's kind of their bread and butter. Offensively, not their strongest. I mean, they've got a decent offense. They don't shoot the ball particularly well from deep. It's one of their weak spots, but they get to the free throw line. They crash the offensive glass. Those are things that Auburn would have to tighten up on, obviously, in a game like that in order, to come out with a win. I think it would be Auburn has the offensive advantage in that one, but San Diego State does a couple things that would be, really tough for them, for Auburn. Like, they'd have to be at their best, I think, to take care of business. Meanwhile, UAB is the complete opposite. UAB is in the tournament because UAB got hot on offense and won the American with it. This is a team that has struggled on the defensive end this year. Matt has had to kind of live and die with their shot makers, and they've got quite a few shot makers. And that's kind of been a thing with Andy Kennedy's teams throughout his career. I mean, he knows how to get guys in good positions to score. And it was just about this year. UAB didn't have a phenomenal regular season, but it doesn't matter if you get out at the right time. They did. So whereas I think Auburn would be able to, in the event that you play a 4-12 game in that second round, I think Auburn would be able to put some points on the board against UAB, but, they would have to really play well against a UAB team that's got, a number of options, some pretty good shooters. They can just, and right now they're playing with a ton of confidence.
Yeah, and we were talking a while ago. I mean, last year was an anomaly, it seems like, in the NCAA tournament. No 12s winning, but we've seen even lower seeds over the last few years. Mm-hmm. Have you got somebody that you think's got a decent shot of making it to the Sweet 16 that's a 12 or lower?
McNeese State, and I know that's a trendy one, but McNeese, I mean, analytically, McNeese State's been awesome this year.
And Justin's a Gonzaga guy, so don't yeah. It's nothing for Justin to be picking Gonzaga to go out in the first round.
Sure, no, I mean, I really like this McNeese State team. I think analytically they are much better than what a normal 12 seed would be. They've got a really good coach. They play with a ton of confidence and a ton of swagger, and that Gonzaga team's just kind of been scuffling this year. But I look at that bracket, you look over there, that little pod over there, you got a 5-12 game between Gonzaga and McNeese State. Wouldn't be surprised if McNeese won that one at all. And then on the other side, Kansas and Samford. I mean, I don't think Buckyball is like the best, style and scheme to like try to win, an upset in an NCAA tournament game, but Kansas has been scuffling. They're going to be able to out Kevin McCullough. There seems to be, I don't know if it's every year, but, most years you can look up at that one little bracket, one little part of the bracket in the first weekend where you see, two double-digit seeds have to play each other in the second round. Wouldn't be surprised at all if that was McNeese State and Stanford. I think, both of those teams have played well to get to that point, but, I think both of them have some advantages to them. And, like I said, I think McNeese State – just a team that, the numbers really, really love them. And they're a team I think is capable of, punching above their weight.
I like New Mexico if they can slip past their favorite against Clemson. They're favorite against Clemson, so it's kind of cheating. But I think they could give Baylor a real game, and then New Mexico, Arizona. If we get that in the Sweet Six, I mean that whole region could be a real mess. And don't think Virginia is gonna have too many more after what we saw last night.
Hey, and I'll tell you, keep an eye on it now because, first four, there's usually a team that wins another one out of the first four. That Colorado State team, I know Virginia was awful last night, but that Colorado State team is pretty good. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if they got, if Colorado State was a team that got in the second round. Maybe
Texas has been inconsistent this year. Texas has a lot of talent for a seven seed, but they can lay an egg against a team like Colorado State. Wouldn't be surprised at all. Justin, tell folks about the great how they can get the Observer before we let you go.
Yeah, AuburnObserver.com. Check it out. We're still running $5 a month right now. A ton of stuff. I've had a ton of basketball stuff out this week, obviously, and then a lot more coming. Over these next few days up here in Spokane. So if you want a lot of insight, on Auburn basketball, X's and O's, analysis, numbers and stuff. And then, of course, we get a ton of access out here, talking to players, open locker rooms, stuff like that. It's a great time to sign up, AuburnObserver.com.
Great stuff, Justin. Thanks, man. Have a good time.
See you, bud.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Justin Ferguson joining us here on the Wednesday Drive. We need to get to our final break. Back to wrap it up here on the Wednesday edition of the Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a five-star bat